Good morning. Good morning. We begin today's daf Mem Aleph. I'm an Aleph in Gittin. We begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsor, Naftali Tilson of Talmud Israel, in honor of the yahrzeit of his dear parents, Rabbi Yonah ben Avram Leib and Rivka Bas Yaakov. And they should, their neshamah should have an aliyah, and the family should have an achama. We also thank the sponsors of the Week of Learning, Yehuda and Janine Goodhart, Lulu Nishmas, Yishai Zalman Ben Lazer. We also thank Binyamin and Ilana Levin in honor of the birth of a granddaughter, Mazel Tov, Liora Sarah Levin. We thank Lou and Eddie Goldberg for sponsoring the daf today in commemoration of the art site and in memory of Lou Goldberg's mother, Miriam Sarah Bas Aaron Zuchan Levracha, on Zion Thomas and Shamash Haven Aliyah and the Thamash Haven Achama. I think it would also be appropriate to dedicate today's daf in honor of all those who went to the chasana last night and came back and got here in time for daf this morning. So beautiful. We'll have a private dedication in honor of all those who are being most nefesh to be here this morning. We are going to begin on daf Mem Amud Beis at the Mishnah again, because the Gemara daf Mem Amud Aleph really is going on this Mishnah, and the Mishnah really is impossible to understand by just learning it by itself. This is one of these Mishnayos which is so cryptic. The language of the Mishnah is so cryptic. The pronouns of the Mishnah is so cryptic. Therefore, we have to learn the Mishnah again. We'll learn it very, very basically, and we'll try to understand it again from the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Daf Mem Amud Beis. We're starting from the Mishnah. It's about 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. Eved Shaso Rabba Potiki La'Cherim. So let's just explain a couple of concepts. Apotiki. What does the word apotiki mean? Apotiki does not mean anything. Apotiki is not really a word. It doesn't have a definition. However, it is a compound of a couple of different words put together, which generally means apo tehekai. Rashi doesn't write it over here. Rashi and other masechtas quotes it. You might see it on the side of your Gemara in some of the Tosfos on the Mosfei Rashi. But the concept of apotiki is the Likutei Rashi in the Eizvah Hadar Gemara quotes Rashi Baba Kama, which is apo tehei kai. What does this mean? That means that sometimes a person owes another person money, and at the time that that loan or that monetary obligation comes into place, the person specifies very clearly where the loan is going to be paid up from. So the person points out a particular, not even really a collateral, it's much more than a collateral. This is a real distinction. You are clearly distinguishing where the person's going to collect the money from. So there's two types of apotiki. A general type of apotiki is where a person says, let's say I owe you $1,000. I will pay back the $1,000 to you of cash. If I don't have the $1,000 of cash, I'm going to use this item, which is worth $1,000, and say, this item is going to pay back that loan. But I am clear that this is not the only item that I'm going to use to pay you back. If this item is gone, I have other things in my house that are worth $1,000. And if those things are gone, I'll get something else worth $1,000. But the idea really is, I'm just showing you, if I don't pay back the loan, if I'm not able to meet my financial obligation, I have something I can point to say, this is the item that I'm going to use to pay you back, to pay back the loan. That's called an apotiki stam. Apotiki stam means I point to an item, but it's not an exclusive item that I'm using to pay back the loan. It's an example of an item that I may use to pay back the loan. If that item is not available, so then I'll go to my other resources and get something else to pay back the loan. And apotiki meforish is where there's risk involved to the lender. I say to the lender, you're going to lend me money worth $1,000. I'm only going to use that item to pay you back. That's it. If that item is here, you'll get your money. That item is not here. Unfortunately, I have nothing else to use to pay you back. And there's a risk involved in the loan. Person says, I'm still willing to lend you the money, understanding that if that apotiki, if that particular item is no longer here, there's no way to pay back. So that's an apotiki meforish. An apotiki meforish means this is the only thing that I'm going to use. The bottom line is apotiki really is just a compound of a bunch of different words, which means apo tehei kai, which means upon this the loan will rest. So now, in this particular case, is a person who happened to have owned a servant. He owned an eved, and he said to a lender, I would like to borrow money from you, and if I can't pay you back, I'm going to use this eved, this particular eved, as my source of payment. Now what happened? He was a wise guy. He freed the slave. So now his eved is actually what he's using as the source of payment for his loan, but he goes ahead and frees this eved. So now what happens? The halacha is, shuras hadin, by the strict letter of the law, ein ha'eved chayiv klum. The eved does not owe anything. He didn't do anything. He has nothing to do with this. Rather, the Gemara says, el v'pnei tikkun ha'olam, because we don't want to have a situation where people can't, we'll see what the tikkun ha'olam means, but for good, normal practices in the world, we're going to say, kofen es rabo, we actually force the master, v'osa oso ben chorin, they actually make this person now, this eved, a ben chorin, v'kosev shtar al damav, and he writes a shtar, a contract, a note on his worth. And I'm saying a lot of he's over here because the Gemara is not clear who the he is. Gemara is not either. We have to clarify, number one, who's the rabbo? The rabbo, the master, already freed him. So what does it mean we force the master to free him? He already did. So we're going to see in the Gemara that there's different understandings of who the he is. But in the basic understanding, when it says rabbo, it means the lender. We force the lender now to go repeat the shichur, to repeat the freeing of this eved. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Eino kosev ela meshachrer. He doesn't have to write anything. The only person who has to write something is the freer. The original owner has to write this letter, but not the slave. So let's, in other words, as cryptic as this mission is, let's just take it for what it is, and we'll go to the Gemara. The Gemara will explain exactly what everything means. Eved she'asu rabba poteki v'shechru. So this is the line of the mission. You have an eved. What happened? His master went ahead and appointed him, specified him as an apoteki v'shechru, and he, let's not say what he means, but he freed him. Now let's see. The Gemara asks the question, mi shichru, who is the one who actually said that this eved will now become free? Rav says, Rabbo Rishon, the first master. Now we're using the term Rabbo Rishon and Rabbo Sheni, although there really isn't a second master, but when we say Rabbo Rishon, that means his original owner. And in this case, what it means is the original owner decided to free this eved. We're going to use the terminology that says Rabbo Sheni, his second master, that refers to the Malva, to the one who lent the money. Although he's not at all the master of this person, but in our Gemara, in our discussion over here, we have two people who are possible or potential owners of the slave, even though it's not a real owner, but a person who's acting in the capacity as an owner to this slave. Therefore, we're going to refer to the lender of the money, to the Malva, as Rabbo Sheni. So therefore, Amar Rav, Rav explains, when a Mishnah says v'shichru, that he freed him, who is that? Rabbo Rishon, that is his original and legitimate master. And the Mishnah explains, Shuras Hadin, by the letter of the law, Ein ho'eved chayiv klum l'rabbo Sheni. This slave that was freed is gone. He doesn't know anything to the second master. He has nothing to do with him, as a matter of fact. It's true that he would have been used as the source of payment to pay up that loan, but that didn't happen yet. He was freed before he was actually used to pay up the loan, and therefore, by the letter of the law, he owes absolutely nothing to the second master. Well, how do we know that? Ketarava. Like Rava's statement, Amarava, Hektish, Chametz, Veshichrur, Mafkiyin, Midei Shibud. There are three things that can actually uproot an obligation. Hektish. So if I have something that if I have an animal, and I make that animal into an apoteki, that this animal is going to be used to pay back my loans, then I maktish it. I consecrate it and give it to Hektish. Sorry, now it belongs to Hektish, and it's no longer going to be obligated to be used as the source of payment for that loan. Same thing with chametz. A person owns chametz, and then he uses that as an apotiki, and then Pesach comes along and gets rid of the chametz for Pesach. Again, now it can no longer be used as the source of payment for the loan. V'shichrur, that's our case. A person uses an eved, he points to an eved as the source of what he's going to use to pay back the loan, and then he goes ahead, he frees this eved. So now that shichrur essentially removes the lien on this eved. The eved is no longer going to be a backup to the loan. Elam apnei tikkun olam, rather because of tikkun olam. We're going to see what that means very soon, because we want things to work out right without there being additional problems. What we do is, shema yimtzeenu b'shuk. Maybe what's going to happen is, this eved is going to be found in the marketplace. V'yomar lo avdiata, the second guy is going to say, hey, hold on a second. Which eved are you? Are you the eved that used to work for Reuven? I'll say, yes. He says, oh, Reuven owes me $1,000. And you, if I'm not mistaken, are the apotiki that was supposed to back up that loan. You're my eved. Now, the truth is, he's not, because he was freed before the time of payment came up, and therefore, he's completely off the hook. He has nothing to do with Rabbi Rishon. He's freed from Rabbi Rishon, from his original owner. He does not belong to the second guy either, because he was freed before the time of the loan payment came up, and therefore, he's a free man. He has absolutely nothing to do with, let's call him Shimon, but because we don't want Shimon to walk over to him and say, hold on a second, you're my slave. Therefore, what we do is, kofinis rabo sheni v'osa oso ben chorin. We actually force the malveh, the lender, to also write an additional shtar shichrur to free him. So in a case where, let's just use names, Reuven borrows, let's just say, $10,000 from Shimon. And he says, Shimon, have no fear. I will pay you back, and here's my apotiki, here's my eved. This eved's going to back it up. Now, before the time of payment came up, Reuven says, you know what, eved, I used you as a backup to this loan, but you are meshuchra, you are freed. He writes mishtar shichra, and he sets him off free. Now he can go on to his own life. So now, the $10,000 between Reuven and Shimon, that's their business. But the slave, this eved right now, what does he have to do with anything? He was freed. Nevertheless, even though the truth is that this eved actually has nothing to do with Reuven anymore because he was freed, and certainly has nothing to do with Shimon anymore because he was freed before the time of payment came up, nevertheless, we force Shimon to write another freedom document, an emancipation document, to this eved. So like this, he can't approach him in the street and say, hey, Mr. Eved, you belong to me. You were supposed to be the lien. I had a lien on you with my loan. We don't want that happening. Why don't we want that happening? So, first of all, it's not nice. We can understand why that's not nice. The guy's a free man. We don't want people going and claiming ownership over him. But worse than that, Rashi says, V'yomer lo avdiata, if Shimon's going to actually claim he is his slave, so, of course, he won't be able to actually take possession over this person, but v'yotzi laza banav. So what's going to happen is people are going to say that this slave over here is going to get married. After an Eved Kanani is freed, he becomes a Yid, he's Megayer, he becomes a Yid, and he's allowed to get married, and he has children. People are going to say, oh, you know the kids of that person? I'm pretty sure that their father is an Eved. Now, what's the difference? Miki Vega actually asks a very strong kash over here. But the bottom line is, we're concerned that his kids will be psulim to kahuna. His children will be fine. They're allowed to marry Yidin. However, they can't marry a Kohen. So we're going to have, when all the Kohanim are going to say, oh, we're not marrying this guy's kids. Now, although it's true that people say that he was freed, but I've heard some rumors that he actually belongs to Shimon. So he's an Eved, his children are Avadim, his children are not able to marry Kohanim. Now, and Kivega wants to know why Rashi doesn't just say that he himself is going to be an Eved. So he himself is going to have a hard time getting married. Right? But we'll leave that caution to Kivega. The bottom line is that's the real problem. We're not just worried that people are going to call him an Eved, which is not nice. We're worried that it's actually going to affect the ability of either him or his children to get married. Therefore, we force Shimon to write what's really an unnecessary document of shichrur, of emancipation, because we don't want anybody to be able to say, Oh, this Evan belongs to Reuven. Oh, this Evan belongs to Shimon. Therefore, both Reuven and Shimon write this document of Shichur to the Evan, and therefore it's going to all be cleared up and everything's okay. That's the way Rav understands the Mishnah. So, again, clearly, Reuven owes money to Shimon. He uses his Evan as the collateral. He puts a lien on the Evan. He frees the Evan. Now the halacha is, Me'ikra din, from the strict letter of the law, nothing else needs to be done. However, in order to protect the dignity and the kashrus of this Eved, we make the second owner, whose name is Shimon, who really never was an owner, never will be an owner, nevertheless make him write this document of Shichur to free the Eved a second time. Now, what happens after that is, the Kosev Eved Shtar Al Damav. In the additional line over there is, and now the Eved is actually going to have to write a note, an IOU note, that he actually owes money because he ended up benefiting from this. So therefore he writes another, he doesn't have any money at this point because he's an Eved. So he writes a Shtar to Shimon because as a result of this whole situation, he ended up getting freed earlier. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, disagrees. He says, "Ain't the Eved Kosev Ela Meshacher? He doesn't write anything. The Eved has no reason to have any financial obligation over here. Rather, who's the one who has to write the IOU note? It's going to be the Meshacher, which is the first, the lender, the borrower, the first borrower. Now he's the one who has to write a note to Shimon. Why? Because he owes him money, and therefore he's the one who has to write that note." Now, what's the argument of Yerbaikim Lefigi? What's the machlokus between the first opinion and the second opinion? The mazik shibudo shel chaverik kamiflagi. This is a discussion of mazik shibudo shel chaverik. Basically, it's a kind of like an idea of a really glorified grama. What happens is, again, everybody understands the concept that I can't steal from you. So if you own something and I break it, so that's really... Let's start more simple. You own something and I take it, that's geneva or that's gazela. There's also a concept called hezek, where I break your thing. I take something which belongs to you and I break it. That's hezek. The Gemara in Bava Kama has extensive discussions about the halachas of hezek if I cause you damage. However, what happens if I don't actually damage something that you really own, but I damage something that you would have had the ability to be able to collect? So that's what happens in our case. You have a shibud. This Eved is actually backing up the loan. And now, what did I do? I went ahead and I ruined your ability to be able to collect. So I didn't damage something which belongs to you, but I ruined the lien. I damaged the lien, and therefore, now you're not able to collect. Now, grumma is the concept of when I indirectly cause damage to you. I do something which indirectly causes damage. This is more the concept of like, closer to the concept of Sorish Darasa Shachavera. A person burns a document, which is a garmi. It's a much stronger type of damage. So here is like an intermediate type of case where I didn't actually burn the documents that give you the ability to collect the money, but I took away your ability to collect your loan because I ruined the lien. So that's the machlokas. The mazik shibudo shel chaverik miflagi, they're arguing in a case where a person damages the lien that backs up a loan. The marasav rechayiv, umarasav rapatur. The machlokas in our mission is whether that's going to be chayiv or patur. Itmar nami, we also have another raisa. Hamazik shibudo shel chavero, the person goes ahead and damages the lien of his friends. Banon machlokas shibashimah gumliel v'rabanon. That is actually the machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon, where Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to say, listen, you went ahead and you freed the slave, so therefore you ruined my lien. Therefore you have to pay for it. And the Rabbanon are going to say that he's not chayiv in such a case. Ula disagrees with Rav and says, you're misunderstanding the whole Mishnah. Mi shichru, who's the one who did the freedom over here? Rabbo Sheni. It was Shimon. So again, we have to repeat, Rabbo Sheni is just language to point out Shimon. He's not really an owner of anything. This sometimes people get like this. Shimon lends $10,000 to Reuven. And Reuven says, ultimately, I'm going to use the Evet to pay you back. Now, he didn't use the Evet to pay him back. But Shimon starts to get excited. He starts to think, look at me. I got an Evet coming my way. I'm essentially the owner of that Evet. He starts to get excited about his power over the Evet, and he goes ahead and he actually frees him. Now, that's nothing. He has no ability to free someone else's Evet. He's not a master at all, but he considers himself to be an Evet. So, therefore, Shura Sadin, by the letter of the law, Ein Evet Chayv Klum B'Mitzvos. The Evet is not free. Since he's not free, he's still an Evet Kanani. He doesn't have to keep mitzvahs more than an Isha. And therefore, he's not Chayv anymore mitzvahs. El Pnei Tikkun Olam. However, because it's Tikkun Olam, we make him keep mitzvahs. Sharei Yatzal of Shem Ben Chorin. Once he's already called the Ben Chorin, Kofinis Rabo Rishon, V'Oso Ben Chorin. People heard. There's this thing that happened. Oh, you know what? There's a transaction between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven used to be the owner. Shimon's becoming the owner. Shimon freed him. Maybe he is free. Once that happens, we say, you know what? All this questionable stuff over here. Reuven, quickly get your Getshecher out and free this guy. Now, because the Shtar al Damav, who writes the Shtar al Damav? It would seem like the second guy. The second guy now caused Reuven to have to free his slave. So he has to actually write a shtar for the damage that he did by freeing someone else's slave, which in turn forced Reuven to go ahead and free his slave. Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Shimon Gamaliel says, Ain't no kosev el meshachar. No, the meshachar actually is one who has to write that note. Mike Mifigi, what's the machlokas? Hezek Shein Nikar Kamifigi. The argument, the concept of Hezek Shein Nikar. Hezek Shein Nikar means sometimes you can cause a person damage, but it's not recognizable damage. In other words, there's a value damage that happens over here, but you can't actually see it. Examples would be where a person goes ahead and is makdish someone else's item. So in a case like that, you can't see the damage. The animal is not going to, or the item is not going to be broken, but its value, he no longer has the ability to be able to have any benefit from that value. So that's what happens in our case. He caused damage, but the damage is not recognizable because it's not something you can actually see. So Hezek Shein Nikar doesn't mean it's covered. So, for example, if I were to, bang into someone else's car, and the outside of the car looks fine, but I ruined the engine, that's Hezek Nikar, because just open up the hood, you'll be able to see the damage. Doesn't mean it's covered. It means that with after all examinations from the eye, you can't see the damage. However, in value, you've severely decreased the value of this item. That's what happens in this case. He went ahead and said something, and then ultimately forced him to be able. He forced him to lose the value of his evet. Mar savish mehezek, mar savish lo shmehezek. That's mechlokas in our Mishnah between the Rabbanon and Shimon Gamliel. Ulo my time lo amar karav. Why is it that Ulo does not say like Rav? Why is he arguing? In other words, why is he arguing and saying that shikuru means the second guy went ahead and freed him? Armalach sheni rabokar slay. Are you going to call the second guy actually the rabbi, the master? For Rav Matayim lo amar k'ula. Why did Rav not say like Ula? Amalei sheni meshachar kar slay. Can you call the guy a meshachar? So therefore, in other words, both of them have a problem with the language. And this is what we really addressed this earlier by pointing it out, that they had a problem with the language, and therefore they went ahead and assumed it was talking about the other person. Itmar ha'osa sadeh apotiki. Once we're talking about this concept of an apotiki, we start to talk about other halachas. Itmar ha'osa sadeh apotiki. A person sets aside his field. Is an apotiki lacherim. It's this. It's an item which is going to be a collateral for payment for a loan. He puts a lien on it. V'shatva nar. Unfortunately, the nar overflowed and it took over this piece of property. So now, if you look at Rashi, it's not talking about simply. If you look at Rashi, v'shuv kol asada v'guf akarka mukulkol shemayim tzofen od la'olam alea. It's not just talking about that it got wet temporarily. This guy owned a piece of property, and there was a major storm, and as a result of the storm, the river just expanded and completely took over this field. So the field is now going to permanently be buried under this river. So it's worthless. It's essentially worthless. He can't do anything with it. He owns the river. But what's he going to do with that? If it's not worth anything. So what's the halach? Bashat v'nar, it was overtaken by the river. Ami Shapir Na'a, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ami, who is Shapir Na'a, he's a pretty good-looking guy. That's what it means, literally. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Eino gova mishar nechasim. Sorry, it was pointed that you got this field, and unfortunately, your bad luck, it was taken over by the river, therefore you have nothing else to collect from. Bavur Shmuel Amar, and the father of Shmuel said, gova mishar nechasim, yes, he can claim from other things. Listen, you owe me $1,000 or $10,000. You promised this field to back it up. Now the field's not here, so pay me up from something else. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak. Nachman bar Yitzchak said, Mishum Na'ami Shapir Nahu, Omer Shmaitet Lo Shapirin. This guy thinks just because he's good looking, he can say something which doesn't make sense. In other words, the idea was he was known as the good looking guy, but the price that he was teaching wasn't so good looking. People didn't like this. You know, the guy owes somebody money, and he pointed to a field, and he said, I'll pay him back, which is because he was a good-looking guy, gives him the right to say something which doesn't make any sense. Gemara says, "Titargim shmarte d'armalei lo yilhei lecha pirayin el amizu." We mentioned at the beginning of the shir that there's two types of an apotiki. There's an apotiki stam, where I point to something and say, this is where you're going to get paid back from. However, that doesn't come to the exclusion of other items. However, there's an apotiki mefurish. There are some types of apotekis which I'm saying to somebody, my dear friend, I'm borrowing this money from you, but I'm letting you know the only place you'll be able to collect from is the real property that I own right now, and it's this particular property at this particular address. If I don't have it anymore by the time the loan has to be paid back, unfortunately, the loan won't be paid back. There's risk involved in such a loan. The halacha is that in such a case, if that piece of property is no longer there, then yes, the lender loses the money. And that's what Ami Shapir Noah was talking about, which actually was talking a very beautiful teaching, because that case was talking about where he pointed specifically to that piece of property and nothing else. Tanin Ami Hachi, we have a similar brisa which actually says the same thing. Na'osa sadeh apoteki la'acher. Person points to his field, and he makes an apoteki for somebody else. Shat v'nar, and the river takes over that field. Govet mishar nechasim. He can indeed collect from other property. However, v'im amar lo lihelecha parayin elamizu. If he said, this is the only place you'll be able to collect from, this particular field, at this particular address, and nothing else, which we're saying, we're referring to that as an apoteki meforish, eino govet mishar nechasim. He cannot collect from anything else. And unfortunately, he has to sustain the loss. Tani idach, another brayso which said the same thing. Ha'osa sadeh apotiki lebalchov. Person makes his field into an apotiki for a balchov. He owes him money. Uleksubas isha, and two, he actually uses it to back up the ksuba that he signed that he promised to his wife. Govin mishar nechasim. He can the balchov, the lender can collect from other property. Shimon Gamliel, Omer Shimon Gamliel says, Balchov, indeed, yes, it's true, go to Mishar Nechasim. The Balchov can collect from other property. Isha ain't no go to Mishar Nechasim. However, his wife, whose ksuba was signed and connected to this piece of property, she cannot collect from other Nechasim. Why? Shein darka shal isha lachzer al bat edinim. It is not normal for a woman to have to start going to Beis Din to start negotiating with them that which piece of property. In other words, just to explain this, the umdana, this is the concept of an umdana, of an assumption, a very strong assumption that we're going to make. A person gets married and he signs a ksuba to his wife. That's generally a very happy time in their life. Now, the ksuba is a document that a husband signs promising all kinds of good things to his wife and promising to take care of her, v'ana eflach, v'okar, v'ezim, v'afarnes, all these beautiful things he's going to do to take care of his wife. In addition to that, he makes promises, kind of prenuptial agreements, what will happen if the marriage does not work out. He does not want to write in that document that she's going to have to go ahead and do all kinds of, jump through all kinds of hoops to try to go ahead and collect the money that she has. So it's really, it's two sides of the coin, because on the one hand he says, I want you to know, this is the piece of property that's used to back up your ksuba. If anything ever happens, you know where it is. You know how to get it. You know what it looks like. You know everything you need to know about it. You don't have to start going to Basin to try to track down my properties, see which ones they own, and get people off of it. I'm just promising you this piece of property. That makes it much easier. The same side, the other side of that coin is that that's the only piece of property that he's giving her. So he gives it to her like that because it's much easier for her, but the result, the consequence of that is that she's not getting any other piece. So that's the umdana of what happens at that point in time, and therefore a piece of property that's used to back up a ksuba is going to be considered an apotekim aforesh, and only that piece of property, and only that piece of property is what he uses to back up the ksuba, and nothing else. The Mishnah continues, Misha chetziv eved v'chetziv ben choron. A person who is the half eved and half ben choron. So what does that mean? Rashi tells us, this is talking about a case where an eved was owned by two different owners. And one of them went ahead and said, you know what? I want to let you free. So the Mishnah says, Oved es rabo yom echad, v'esatzma yom echad. He has to work for the remaining master for one day, and on the other day, he's free. So let's just say Reuben and Shimon owned this Eved, so he worked for Reuben on Sunday, Shimon on Monday, Reuben on Tuesday, Shimon on Wednesday, and so on and so forth. Now Reuben goes ahead and frees the Eved, so now he has Sunday off, he has Tuesday off, and he has Thursday off. So that's what the Gemara says. Divrei Beis Hillel, those are the words of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says there's no problem over here. He has two owners, one of them freed him, so therefore half the week he's going to be free, half the week he's going to have to work for this other owner. Mishamay Omrim, Mishamay says, Tikantimus Rabo, very nice. You worked everything out for the master, for the owner of this Eved, however, Beth Atzma lo Tikantim. This Eved over here is really up the creek without a paddle, because it's true, it's very nice that he gets freed half the week, however, he can't live. Why can't he live? Because Lisa Shivcha, can he marry a Shivcha? Yef, sure, no, you can't do that. Why Shekar Chesed Ben Chorin? He's halfway a free man, so he's no longer able to marry a Shivcha Kananis, a non-Jewish maidservant. Top of the Malach on the base, the Mishnah continues. Bas Choron Yefsher, can he marry a free woman? No. Why Shekvar Chesiv Evet? Half of him is still an Evet, so he can't marry a regular Jewish Bas Choron. So he's really stuck. What's left? The only thing that's left is Yibatel. He could sit there and not get married. Lo Nivra Olam El Peri Virivya. You can't do that to him. You can't tell him he can't get married his whole life. And Pasuk tells us that the world was created to be populated. We're supposed to have children. How is he supposed to have children if he can't get married? Now, interestingly, the Mishnah writes, how do we know that the world was populated for Peri Virivya? Shnemar, for it says in the Pasuk, Lo Tohu Bara El Leshevis Yitzara. The world was not created just to be empty. It was created to be populated. So now, therefore, it can't possibly be that he won't be able to get married. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Elam Ptetikin Olam says, Beishamai, Kofin es Rabo, you go to the second person, Ve'osa, Osa ben Chorin, and you force the second owner to actually free him, because the Shtar, Achatzi Damav, he has to write a Shtar on half of his value, because the bottom line is, he got freed for no reason, so he has to actually write a note of an IOU note to the second owner because he let him free. Beis Hillel heard this argument and said, you know what, it makes a lot of sense. It's true that originally we thought it made sense that he could be halfway free and halfway still working for somebody. However, it's true, we actually have a problem over here that we're making this guy get stuck here. He can't get married. Now, if you look at Tosis, I don't know if we don't have enough time to go through this, but Tosis asks a simple question. Mishnah says, the world was created for Peri Virivya. Peri Virivya literally comes from the pasuk which says, Pru Urevu. People should be fruitful and multiply. So why does the Mishnah say the mitzvah's Peri Virivya, which comes from that pasuk, that's where the language comes from, and then quote a pasuk from Navi to tell us that the world was not created to be desolate and empty? So the Tosfos goes through a number of different answers, but I think the one that actually sticks out to me the most, at least according to my understanding of Tosfos, is it's possible that when it comes to the mitzvah pru revu, the person could just simply say, I'm an onus. There's a mitzvah for me to have children. I can't. What am I supposed to do? I can't get married. So from the mitzvah pru revu, the person, that's not going to be a problem. He's no nace. Not every mitzvah can a person accomplish. A person can accomplish the mitzvah. He can accomplish the mitzvah, and therefore, he's no nace. However, in any case when there's an ones, there's still the idea that the mitzvah wasn't, the result of the mitzvah didn't happen. And therefore, that's going to be a violation of the concept that the world was created to be populated. So to point to the mitzvah, pruravu, well, we could simply say, what do you want from me? It's an ones. But to the consequence to say we want the world to be populated, that's not going to happen. I mean, the famous example of this is when it comes to Limud HaTorah. Many people can actually claim ones on Limud HaTorah. They're so busy. They don't have any time to learn. Well, that's very nice. They may actually, I'm saying may, because it's, I mean, this group over here actually shows that everyone here is busy, and still you find time to learn. But ultimately, let's say someone can't possibly come to learn. He's an ones. It's very nice. Might be an ones. Maybe he's going to be potter from learning, but he's still not going to know any Torah. And that's the concept, the idea. A person might be an ones from something, but if a person's always an ones from something, the consequence is that they never actually have the benefit of doing that mitzvah. In this case, he might be an ones, and he can't fulfill the mitzvah of Puru Ravu, but the mitzvah of Lola Toa Bara, the world wasn't created to be empty, it was created to be populated. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah uses that pasuk, because at the end of the day, the consequence of not being able to have children will always be that whether or not it's a violation of the mitzvah or not. Ultimately, Bez Hillel turned around and Paskin like Beit Shammai. Tana Rabbanan. We're running out of time over here. Tana Rabbanan. Hamashachrer Chatzi Avdo Rebbe Amar Kana V'Chom Amrim Lo Kana. Once we're talking about the concept of a person, of a slave being or a servant being halfway freed and halfway not freed, we're going to talk about a different case. Let's just again remind ourselves of what the Mishnah was talking about. The Mishnah was talking about a case where this Eved Kanani was owned by two people. In such a case, the case makes sense. Let's just use names. Reuven and Shimon own Eved Kanani. Reuven goes ahead and completely disowns from all of his possessions, his entire ownership over the Eved. Now the Eved is only owned by Shimon. That's the case, which is a Davar Pashut, that it's going to work. Our Mishnah discussed whether or not Shimon's now going to be obligated to let go of his ownership as well. Now, what happens if there's one owner of this Eved, and he decides, I want to relinquish half of my ownership over this one Eved? Can that be done, or can that not be done? So again, it's clear that a person can relinquish his entire ownership over an Eved and still leave a second ownership from another person. Our Gemara is now talking about what happens if a person owns the Eved entirely, but he wants to relinquish half of his ownership over this Eved. So in such a case, Tana Rabbanan, HaMeshachar Chatzi Avdo, a person is Meshachar. He frees half of his Eved. Rebbe Amar Kana, Chacham Amar Lo Kana. Machlok is between Rebbe and the Rabbanon, whether or not that Eved actually becomes halfway freed. So let's remember all these names. They're going to be very important because there's a number of names in the Gemara. Rebbe and the Chachamim are the critical players in this Machlokas. They are the ones who argue whether or not a person can relinquish half of his ownership over an Eved. Now we have to remember there's a Rabbah here and there's Rabbi Yosef. Because Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef are going to argue what Rebbe and the Chachamim were talking about. I'm a Rabbah. Rabbah says, Machlokes, this Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim is Bishtar. If he frees the Eved with a Shtar. The Rebbe Sabar, Rebbe is of the opinion, he darshens the Pesukim as well. The Hefta Lo Niftasa. The pasuk is talking about either a shifcha charufa or a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. Shifcha charufa is where an eved ivri married a shifcha kananis, so it's like it's a halfway freedom. The other one's talking about where the hefta lo niftasa is talking about where it was a hefta but not complete. There was a freedom done, but it wasn't a complete freedom. So now makish shtar lekesef. we actually have a hekesh of shtar to kesef. Ma kesef, bein kulo bein chesef. Just like when it comes to money, a person can go ahead and relinquish half their ownership. Afshtar nami bein kulo bein chesef. So therefore, if he uses a shtar, he could relinquish half his ownership, but halfway or not, or the whole thing. Rabbanan gamri la meisha. We can see this price later on today's daf. They learn a hekesh of la meisha. Just like when it comes to Isha, Ma Isha Chetzia Lo, person can't divorce half his wife. Af Eved, Nami Chetzia Lo, person cannot free half of his Eved. Avok Bekesef, however, when it comes to money, Divriya Kol Kana, according to Rabbah, everybody, both Rebbe and the Chacham, are going to agree that when it comes to money, a person can actually do a pidyon. An Eved can do a half a pidyon, and peduya vein peduya, you can have an Eved which is halfway freed, halfway not freed. Let's just say that the following is the machlokes. The Mar Savar Akesha Adifa. Mar Savar, that one Mad Amar holds that Hekesh is better. Umar Savar, Gzer Shava Adifa. The other Mad Amar holds, no, Gzer Shava is better. Rashi explains each one. The Gemara says, no, look, Kuliyama, the truth is Gzer Shava Adifa. Gzer Shava, everyone agrees that Gzer Shava is better than a Hekesh. And Rashi explains the reason for that is because Gzer Shava comes from Sinai, and essentially the pasuk is extra. That word is mufna, it's extra, and therefore it's going to be stronger than a hekesh. Shani Hacha, in other words, everyone agrees that Gzer Shava is better. So why is it that the Chachamim, that Rebbe would prefer to use a hekesh? Shani Hacha, Dikel Mifach, Mal Ishish, can't any Yotze Bekesef. The Gzer Shava is not so good, because the comparison from Isha to an Eved is not the same. Why? Because a woman, one of the ways for divorce, learning Maseches Gittin, we know, she cannot be divorced by redeeming herself. There's no way to buy yourself out of a marriage. So therefore, it's not comparable. Tomer be'Eved, Yotze be'Kesef, an Eved can indeed monetarily redeem himself. Rabbi Yosef disagrees with Rabbah from earlier, and Rabbi Yosef says no, they're not having machlokas b'shtar. Rather, Rabbi Yosef says machlokas b'kesef. Their argument is indeed when it comes to money. The Rebbe savar v'heft alon iftasa, which is peduya v'ene peduya. Rebbe says when it comes to money, yes, you can have a half of redemption. Rabbanan savri, Rabbanan say no. Dirotorok losh mini adam. The pasuk says v'heft alon iftasa. It just means that's the way that people speak. It doesn't mean that there's a way to actually redeem yourself halfway with money. Al b'shtar divriya kol okana. When it comes to shtar divriya kol okana. So it's important to point out two things. There's two different points that they're arguing about. They're arguing about shtar, and they're arguing about kesef. And this is going to become important, because soon, in about one line, we're going to prove what the halacha is with shtar, but we're not going to prove what the halacha is with kesef. And then a line later, we're going to prove what the halacha is with kesef with money. I'm sorry that we're kind of running against the clock over here. It's a little bit complicated, but we'll try to make it as clear as possible. Meister, the Gemara asks the kasha from Braisa. Hamashach v'chatzi avto. Person goes ahead and frees half of his eved bishtar, clearly with a shtar. So who says this? Rabbah, I'm a Rabbah machlokas bishtar. Rebbe Amar Kana. Rebbe says he is Kana. Chacham Amar Lo Kana. Clear as black on white. Inside the brisa, then when it comes to a freedom with a shtar, that's where there is machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, where Rebbe says yes, he becomes halfway freed. Chachamim say no, he's not halfway freed. So that says the Gemara, Tiyufta, to Rav Yosef, Tiyufta, it's a solid Tiyufta. Rav Yosef is incorrect, and Rav Yosef cannot say that when it comes to shtar, everybody agrees that it's going to work, because we clearly have a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chacham. Now, the Gemara continues, B'shtar hu depligi. We see that the machlokes is only by shtar. Avol b'kesef lo pligi. There's no machlokes by kesef, therefore limit to Rav Yosef betarti. Now, let's just say, when he said that they are arguing about money, he's also wrong about that. In other words, he's not only wrong about his statement that they don't argue about shtar, he's also wrong when he says that they do argue by kesef. Amalach Rav Yosef, Yosef said no. Pligi b'shtar v'hu adim kesef. They argue about both. However, so why does it say in the Brayta so shtar doesn't say anything about kesef? V'adik tani havaha dekamif pligi b'shtar. Why does it say shtar clearly in that Brayta and not kesef? Lo diach hakocha d'Rebbe, to bring out the power of Rebbe, where he says that it's going to work to become halfway freed. So the Gemara says, okay, very nice. You're mentioning shtar to bring out the point of Rebbe that it's going to work and he'll become halfway freed. So mentioned money is like this. You can see that the Rabbanan say it doesn't work. Gemara says, no, koch teratera adif. We always like to highlight the one who's going to be makel and be maturit, not because it's better to be makel, but when a person is makel and a person is actually matur something, it shows that they're much more thorough about the research, because people are not matur things unless they're absolutely certain that it's going to be mutter, and therefore when a person says something is mutter, we like to highlight that. Tashema, we're going to quickly read through this price. It's a little bit of a long price, so just to go to the question. Tashema, let's read this price. Vehefta. The pasuk says vehefta. Yachalaka. I think that means he's entirely freed. Tam lomar no lo neftasa. The pasuk says no, he's not freed. E lo neftasa. If it only say lo neftasa, yachalaka. I would say he's entirely not freed. Tam lomar vehefta. The pasuk says yes, he is freed. So it's confusing. Is he free? Is he not freed? So what's talking about? Ketzad. How do we understand this? Peduya veine peduya. It's talking about where the person is redeemed. With redeemed, but not redeemed. Bekesef, money was used, or b'shava kesef, something worth money. Vainly ela bekesef, peshtar minayin, clear. How do we know that you can do this halfway freeing? You can free him halfway with kesef and with shtar. Minayin tamlon or v'heftal on uftasa. It says v'heftal on uftasa. Oichu pasha. Lo nitein la. And that's referring to a shtar. So that's the hekesh that we talked about earlier. Ulhalanu Amar, and later on it says the kasav law sefer krisus. He'll write for her a sefer krisus, a divorce document. Malah law and b'shtar, just like when it comes to divorce, it's done with a document. Afkan b'shtar, when it comes to relieving an eved, it can be done with a shtar. Ainly elachetsu b'ketsav akula b'shtar. I only know that if it's halfway done with money, or entirely done with money, then that's going, or entirely done with a shtar, that's going to work. How do I know? Clearly, this is what we're talking about. This is our discussion. Chetziyov b'shtar, minayin, that a person could use a shtar to free half the eved. How do I know that works? Tam lomar, it says in the pasuk v'hefta, lo niftasa. It says, the pasuk continues and writes the whole discussion over there. Makish shtar lekesef. That makes a hekish of it. It juxtaposes money to a document. Makesef and kula bechetziyav. Just like when it comes to money, it doesn't make a difference if it's the whole thing or it's half of it. Afshtar nami bekula bechetziyav. When it comes to shtar, whether he does the whole thing or half the thing, half of the freedom, it's going to work. So Bishlam Alev Yosef, Basar Ditosev, according to Yosef, after he was already shown to be incorrect, Hamani Rebihi, it will still work, according to Rebbe. El Rabba, according to Rabba, Reisha Divriakal, the Reisha, it's going to be according to everybody because it's talking about money. The Sefer Rebbe, the end of this price is only going to work according to Rebbe. Amar Lach Rabba, Rabba will say yes, in Reisha Divriakal, we can indeed say that the Reisha was Divriakal, but Sefer Rebbe, and the end was only Rebbe. We'll stop here, Baravashi. Have a wonderful day.